Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I am here today to update people of Wyoming on recent developments and provide an update on Wyoming's ongoing response to the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm joined here today, and you will hear from Secretary of State Ed Buchanan in a few moments, the Wyoming Department of Health Director Mike Ceballos, Office of Homeland Security Director Lynn Budd is here with us as well today, and Robin Cooley, Director of Wyoming Department of Workforce Services. I want to reassure people that we continue to work very hard on making sure the two aspects of this crisis are addressed. Number one, the very real public health concerns that we have, and number two, the economy, making sure that Wyoming stays at work. Let me say that our efforts here have been designed to make sure that we do our best to flatten the curve. It is absolutely imperative that we flatten the curve, because by flattening the curve, we will not overwhelm our healthcare services. Let me repeat, it is absolutely essential that we flatten our curve by staying home, by making sure that we do social distancing, practice good hygiene, because we want to make sure that should this crisis come in greater detail, and we have seen it increase over the last few days, that we have adequate hospital facilities. And it's not just for COVID virus that we are worried about this. If our hospitals are filled and somebody has a stroke or somebody breaks a leg, you will not be able to be taken into the hospital. So it is essential that we flatten the curve by staying home. I want to begin by saying that I recognize this is an incredibly challenging time for Wyoming and for our nation. Earlier today, I was briefed by the National Governors Association on the bill that has just passed the Senate and the way that the Senate and the House and Congress are looking at trying to address this issue. We are here in Wyoming also trying to address this issue. I am confident that we are going to get through this. Both the public health and the economic challenges that we face will be addressed the Wyoming way, the proper way. Together with state leadership, I am working every day to make sure that this happens. We have increased our ability to do additional testing, and I'll let Director Ceballos speak to that in just a moment. Yesterday, because of public concerns for public health, we issued an order to close hair salons, nail salons, massage and tattoo parlors, and other public services. This was a necessity to protect public health and encourage people to stay home. It is an extension of the social distancing measures that we have put in place to try and slow the spread of the virus. As we do this every day, we evaluate the need for these additional orders. And I have to say that this order was one that I thought about for some time. It is important that Wyoming stays at work, but it is also critically important that we continue to protect our public health. This order was done with a great deal of concern for the health of the public. I want to reemphasize that these orders have been implemented carefully and thoughtfully, and that we are asking every Wyoming citizen to protect healthcare workers, first responders, and medical facilities. If we see a surge of cases, and this is really important, we could see our healthcare providers be overwhelmed with patients. More importantly, if our first responders and our healthcare professionals are themselves infected, they take themselves off the line, further complicating issues. We need to ensure that we have the capacity to treat everyone who needs to be treated. And that's why I'm here today to urge Wyoming residents to stay home whenever possible. And that means working from home if it's feasible, and only going about when it's absolutely necessary. We are not trying to shut down Wyoming, but your voluntary actions and discipline will make the difference on whether we can slow the spread of COVID-19. You can make a difference in Wyoming for you, your family, and your neighbors. And I want to emphasize that the orders we put in place are only effective if we take them seriously. And I know we have a patchy set of circumstances in Wyoming. Mike will tell you in just a little bit about where we've seen some of these cases. Some counties have not yet seen them. Does not mean, and I'll talk about this in my concluding remarks, does not mean that COVID-19 is not present in your county. It will take some time to see the impacts of these measures, and it is essential that Wyoming residents do their part to prevent us from having additional issued orders. And I am doing my best to avoid the shelter-in-place order. As we are all aware, an earlier order closed state school districts and public spaces until April 3rd. We are currently assessing the situation daily and expect to have updated guidance by the end of the week. Each of the orders that have been issued has been intended to save lives and to protect public health and the capacity of our medical providers. That's why you see these actions occurring nationwide in every state. In Wyoming, we have many small hospitals with only a few beds. They are staffed by your neighbors and your friends. In many cases, our EMTs are volunteers that are your neighbors and workmates. Our state's medical community is working extremely hard, but if they're sickened by this virus, these facilities will be compromised. It is also vital that people stay home when they are sick, and call their medical provider. Unless it's a true or obvious medical emergency, please don't call 911 or walk into an emergency room. Again, we're trying to protect our healthcare workers and our communities and prevent unnecessary exposure. I want to emphasize this isn't a situation that will run its course by the first week of April. We all know that. We are going to be managing the impacts of COVID-19 for some time to come. It is the battle rhythm I spoke about on Monday. And we are going to have a community spread regardless of where you are. But the actions people take now will make a difference. And the best way to help the state to get through this period is to stay home whenever possible. I do want to introduce you to Mike Ceballos, Director of Department of Health, to provide an update from the Department of Health. Thank you, Mike.
I'm Mike Ceballos, Director of the Department of Health. And the first part that I'd like to start out with is we need to take the governor's message seriously. There are three statewide public health orders in effect. The first was really for schools, restaurant, bars, and gyms. We were trying to just stop the spread by stopping you to go to places that might otherwise congregate you. The second really was an extension of that thought, and it was a prohibition of 10 or more in a gathering. And again, the idea there is to keep people separated. We really need to have space so that there won't be a way to transmit virus unnecessarily. The third was really some personal care businesses that we talked about, like hair salons, massage parlors. And what we were really thinking there is where people touched each other, where you could more likely get passed on, that we wanted to stop it there. So all three of these orders are present now. And as the governor said, we need to take this seriously. The reason that we've issued these three orders is we potentially and hopefully don't have to take more draconian measures. We need to all do our part, the social distancing that you are practicing, and most importantly, staying at home as much as possible. During this outbreak, I have to take a minute just to thank the team that I'm working with. We're working 24/7 in the Department of Health. Staff members have been working day and night, weekends, to respond to the many issues presented by this pandemic. And I just have to tell you, I'm very proud of them. Our state health officer, Allie, who's not here today, you've all seen so many times. So hopefully I'm giving her a break at home. Well, and she's not at home, is she? She's out there continuing to work. Our lab staff, our preparedness and response team that we've been working with, folks answering the phones, as well as our agency leadership. We've just been working tirelessly to address this. We have been working with the governor, with his staff, with Wyoming Department of Homeland Security. We've got a great team going there. And literally every state agency we've had some time to spend with. I'm especially proud also of our staff at our five healthcare facilities because they haven't been able to work at home. They have to be with those folks that we serve on a daily basis. So for the last 2 weeks, there's been some common questions that popped up, but I think the biggest one that I'd like to address this afternoon is just the issue on capacity of the testing that we have. As the demands for tests have grown, our lab has expanded, and it was, for me, interesting that we've had a tenfold expansion in what we've been able to do there. However, as you're all aware, there is still a shortage of the COVID-19 supplies that we need for being able to do the tests. And it's not just here, it's also nationally. The Wyoming Public Laboratory has created a limited supply of sample collection kits to be distributed to each county, and then they can be sent back to the lab for testing. Each sample kit contains the swab, the tube, and all the media that they need to be able to accurately do a test. The goal is to get these kits out to the counties and both tribes by the end of this week. A total of 2,650 sample kits will be distributed. We're also distributing another 500, which I think are just replacing stock that was there before. So again, we hope this will, again, have confidence that you all know that they're out there, we can use them, but we're still going to have to be careful. We cannot test every case, and we're following the CDC guidelines to make sure that we're doing this appropriately. So please remember that these kits and tests will be a challenge. We don't have all that we need. To ensure that the tests can be performed as quickly as possible with patients who need them, the Department of Health has set up priorities that your health care providers have, and they're using those on a going forward basis. So in closing, I would like to emphasize a few key points. The three state public health orders that are in effect now are here to slow down the growth. Again, if we can all work consistently and remind each other of why we're doing this, we can help preserve those supplies and also extend this process so that we're not facing huge demands on individual hospitals. We all know that these actions are meant to reduce illness and burden on the healthcare system. And when we do have the limits that we know we have there today, this is one of the best ways we can go about it. If we'll all take our part in doing this, we can help prevent the spread. As a business person for 30 years and being a generalist, not having a health background, I've had to analyze all of what we've been doing. And what's very interesting is I know the stress that this would have on the business that I came from. But we also have another duty, and it's supply and demand. And what we really are trying to address here is our supply is growing. We're getting more capacity to be able to have the supplies that we need to treat these symptoms. The problem that we'll continue to have, though, is how do you manage the demand? And everything we're doing with this order is asking you all to be part of the process, to stay at home when you can, and to do things moderately. And if we'll all do that, we won't have to take any greater action than with the three orders that we have. So that's what we're trying to do. With that, Governor.
Thank you, Director. And I will note that the work of Dr. Allie Harris has been remarkable in getting those samples ready and out to counties. As of this morning, we had 41 confirmed cases in 9 Wyoming counties. 758 samples have been tested at the Wyoming Public Health Laboratory, with 35 of those samples testing positive. We also know that there are additional samples that are going to private labs, which is why you're seeing the numbers start to kick in, as I said, on Friday last week. We will see more of these tests coming in positively. What should be, I think, on every Wyoming citizen's mind is the fact that we started only about a week and a half ago with one confirmed case, and we are now at 41. But we are also thinking about what this means for people in Wyoming. And with that, I want to introduce Secretary of State Ed Buchanan to talk about his efforts on his task force.
Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. I am Secretary of State Ed Buchanan, and I have been tasked with leading the state of Wyoming in the area of state services and operations, and it's really designed to ensure that we maintain the critical services for both state employees, but most importantly for the citizens of the state of Wyoming, because in addition to the private sector, the state of Wyoming provides very essential services and public services that cannot simply be forgotten or left undone or left unmanned. And my task force is designed to meet those challenges as we move forward through this pandemic. I'll start by talking a little bit about the agencies with which we are coordinating and some of the goals that we have for the near term in the task force, and then talk about some long-term goals as well. Specifically with the Department of Administration and Information, it's been critical that we determine which state employees have to be physically at work and which of those can telecommute, because of course we have the public safety in mind, but we also have the personal health of our state employees forefront in our minds as well. So it's a delicate balance that we have to decide who must stay and work and who can work for home, for everyone's public safety, and also to meet the goal of ensuring that our public services remain open to the citizens. With regard to some of the more specific agencies that provide day-to-day services to our citizens, I'd like to speak first to the Department of Family Services. You know, this is a very essential agency. It takes care of a lot of things within our state, but probably most importantly, our children, our disabled, and the elderly. And I've been in close contact with the director of that agency, ensuring that they have what they need to continue to get the job done. One of the most important areas they're responsible for is child protection. And we have to ensure that we keep those folks out in the field and doing the job and protecting our children. I would like to note that with regard to childcare, the state health officer has issued an order that closed childcare facilities because doing so is necessary for the public health. However, I want people to know that that order contains an exception for childcare facilities to remain open and serve what we call essential personnel. Those would be people like healthcare providers, like criminal justice employees, active duty military, grocery, food supply workers, and other workers that are critical to our state's infrastructure, things like utilities, water, first responders, and those types of things. And I would also note that the Department of Health has issued guidelines for child care providers, which are continuing to operate, and that can be found, or operating child care facilities and information can be found on the DFS website. The next area I would like to speak to is just briefly is the Department of Corrections. We've been in close contact with the Department of Corrections since last week. Obviously, we want to keep our incarcerated population safe, and we also want to have our staff members to operate those facilities safely for the overall safety of the citizens of the state of Wyoming. And I'm glad to report that everything is going well with the Department of Corrections. And they were on top of this as soon as news broke that we needed to be especially careful with confined populations. So that's up and running and going well. Another area that I've been coordinating with is the Department of Transportation and the Wyoming Highway Patrol. Again, the Wyoming citizens deserve continued public service in the form of law enforcement protection. And we have to be mindful that while those first responders and the highway patrol and law enforcement clear down to the local level is protecting our citizens, we also have to be ensured that they are protected as well as they come into daily interaction with the public on the roadways every single day. And so to that end, we're working hard in the task force to ensure that they are capable and out there and doing their job and protecting the public, and that they're safe while doing so. And that includes some basic things like ensuring they have the equipment they need and the procedures and protocols they need that are slightly different these days, but also protect their safety when interacting with members of the public. I'd like to point out that it's not just statewide that we're concentrating on. We're also reaching out to local governments. You have a large interplay between the state and local governments, whether it be law enforcement, the court system, Department of Family Services, Department of Workforce Services. And so we're reaching out to the county commissioners and mayors and town councils, county clerks all across Wyoming to ensure they have what they need to continue to deliver services to the citizens of Wyoming, because in a lot of instances, your local government, they're the ones who are at the local level. They're the ones that know what public services need to be delivered, and they're the ones that need a lot of resources and coordination with the state. So we're working closely with them. I'd also like to say we're working closely through various state agencies with the Eastern Shoshone and the Northern Arapaho tribes in Fremont County. Those of you that do pay attention to the news know that Fremont County has been hit pretty hard by the COVID-19 virus, and so we're ensuring that we're reaching out to those local sovereign nations as well to make sure that they have what they need to protect their citizens. Finally, I would mention on a note with regard to employment. The Department of Workforce Services is the agency that's largely responsible for helping our citizens get back to work and also helping our citizens in times when they find themselves unemployed. And of course, this pandemic will be an instance where many people find themselves unemployed, and the state of Wyoming stands ready to help them either get assistance while they are unemployed or help them find work in the future. To that end, my task force has been working closely with Director Cooley from the Department of Workforce Services to really streamline through emergency rule process the protocols that people would need to go through in order to apply and qualify for unemployment. And we want to do that in a way that makes sense, but we also want to do it in a way that is easily accessible by Wyoming citizens to help them stay on their feet or get back on their feet. And I also would like to add, we're working for small business as well to try and find ways with the funds we have to hopefully hold harmless a rate increase on employers, if that's possible. We can't promise that at this point, but in helping folks get back on their feet, we also recognize that it's important that we not hurt the small businesses that are the engine of our economy in Wyoming while we're trying to do that. So to that end, I would introduce to you Director Robin Cooley of the Department of Workforce Services to walk us through some of the details and specifics of our unemployment program. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary of State Buchanan and Governor Gordon. My name is Robin Cooley, and I'm the Director of Wyoming Workforce Services. I'm here to let you know that our department stands ready to help the workers and businesses of Wyoming at all times, but especially now in the face of this challenge that we have in front of us. I first want to speak to you about our Unemployment Claims Unit and our Claims Division. But if I can, I really want to make a plea to you that when you're seeking unemployment insurance benefits, please do so either by phone or online. What that will do is help to protect not only you, but also the workers that we have in our office that are, again, that state workforce that have to be there in order to make sure that those benefits are going out to you in a timely manner and they're being processed in a claim in a timely manner. So if you can, please do that online or by phone. With that, I want to let you know some of the things we're doing to ramp up our ability to help you out. We have increased our staffing in our Workforce Claims Center. We've got about, at last count, about 15 additional individuals that we've put toward taking those claims, answering questions. We've got questions coming in from both claimants and businesses. And we are really working to maintain and stay ahead of some of those claims coming in and the questions. But as well, I know that you've had problems with some of the telephone lines. We're working with ETS, and I would like to say thank you to our ETS partners for helping us out. We're hoping to get additional phone lines in place here fairly quickly so that we can start taking those claims more timely, and also when you call in, you won't get those busy signals that you're currently getting. As you are aware, we are seeing more than the usual number of people seeking unemployment assistance, but our UI staff is at this time keeping up with that demand. Those who file the claims can still expect to receive their benefits in under 2 days from the time they file them. So you've heard some news about this waiting period. In Wyoming, we do not have that waiting period, so you should be able to get your funds in a fairly quick manner. I would also like to speak to you about our Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. Going into this COVID-19 situation, our UI Trust Fund was one of the healthiest, if not the healthiest, in the nation. We've been keeping our eye on that fund and are trying to do some modeling to ensure that we maintain the health of that fund. But when we compare this pandemic's effects to the downturn in 2008, 2009, 2010, when we were in the Great Recession, which was the worst one in the history of our Wyoming UI employment situation, we feel we are in a very good place with our fund. As you know, federal legislation was signed into law on March 18, 2020. The Families First Coronavirus Response Act provided Wyoming with $1,774,800 or $804. We are gathering information and working with our Attorney General's office, as well as Secretary Buchanan's office, as well as our Unemployment Insurance Commission, to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to be able to access those funds. That means pushing through emergency rules that will relax some of the eligibility requirements for unemployment insurance around work search requirements, as well as some of the timing and the length of time that you can receive some of those requirements. So that will be coming. Hopefully, we're able to push those emergency rules through here fairly quickly. I also want to make you aware, though, that we're looking at other options with some of our federal funding about how we can avoid layoffs if possible. We expect to roll out our new emergency grant opportunities within the next few days to help businesses remain open and keep their employees working. What we're doing is working with our Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, or WIOA funds, and able to use our rapid response funds that we would normally use for mass layoffs, similar to what we used for the Black Jewel layoffs several months ago, in order to use those funds to help employees or employers. Maybe it would be buying computers in order to help their staff telework. There's any number of parameters around that we're looking at that we might be able to allow employers to use those in order to avoid the layoffs. And there will be an application process about that coming out quickly. With that said, I do want to make sure that we say something about the availability of jobs out there. Now, recognizing that we've had shutdowns, there are still employers looking for jobs and employees looking for jobs. So I want to encourage you all that are in that situation, please get on to our Wyoming at Work website, where you as an employee looking for a job can put your information in there and be matched with a job that needs the skills that you have. Similarly, for businesses that are looking for employees, you can get on there, fill out the information about the positions that you have, and then again, that matching, that background matching through the Wyoming at Work system might help you find some employees to fill those positions. We are hopeful that the preventative measures put into place by Governor Gordon, the Department of Health, and many other of your state agencies will get us through this and get everyone back to work as soon as possible. But until then, the Department of Workforce Services is here to help both workers and businesses in Wyoming. Thank you.
So, thank you again. I want to reemphasize the two things that we've tried to point out in this press conference. Number one, the importance of staying home, the importance of doing the absolutely critical task of making sure hygiene is well taken care of, that you do the social distancing, and the fact that we are really working hard as a state to keep our businesses up and running. These are not mutually exclusive. We can do this, Wyoming. We can do it together. And I actually have the opportunity now to introduce the best part of today's press conference in my mind, which is to introduce my wife, Jenny, to talk about her Wyoming Hunger Initiative. Jenny?
When it became clear that this crisis was going to have a serious impact on our state, my office immediately went to work to see how the Wyoming Hunger Initiative could be of help, because hungry people cannot wait. We instantly put together a task force to provide support, streamline communications, and implement creative solutions to some of the issues caused by the COVID statewide closures. The task force is composed of stakeholders from around the state who represent nonprofit organizations and school districts who are working to keep people fed in Wyoming. We have been holding conference calls twice weekly since March 17th and will continue to do so during this crisis. One of the results that came from the task force call is that the Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies will be offering mobile food pantry sites starting next week. We have one set for Warland on March 31st, Torrington on April 1st, Star Valley April 2nd, and Evanston on April 3rd. More sites will be announced in the coming days, and we will be sharing this information on our social media websites. If anyone has questions about the distribution, please call the Wyoming Food Bank of the Rockies. That number is 307-265-2172. 307-265-2172. The task force is working with its partners to find storage and transportation for the increasing amounts of food that are being requested. We wanted to create a clearinghouse of resources, so my office launched a new webpage this morning off of the Wyoming Hunger Initiative website to serve as a one-stop shop for resources in every county in Wyoming. The site is nohungerwyo.org. You can click on the COVID-19 response tab, or you can learn about resources in each county in Wyoming. We encourage you to check your county site to see if there's anything we might have missed. We will be updating that as the information comes in on a regular basis. And I want to thank my chief of staff, Trista Ostrom, and Elizabeth Thillo, the web consultant, who worked tirelessly for many hours to get this website up and going today. We have also worked with weekend food bag programs around the state to organize a network to ensure that they're making connections with those schools and provide the food that those kids need during the weekend. I am also happy to report that all Wyoming schools that are on the school lunch program are providing food for kids. That's 40 districts. Some are serving out of a bus, some are delivering, and some have multiple sites at different schools set up around the community. I am very proud of the Wyoming Department of Education and the Nutrition Services Department for getting that up so quickly. That is headed by Tamara Jackson and her crew. I've also been working with the Wyoming Department of Health Aging Division to brainstorm ways to communicate to elder people that might be in nursing homes or senior living and isolated this time. We're thinking about maybe sending letters, cards, and emails to them in a safe manner to avoid the loneliness and depression that occurs during these times. My office is also in the process of contacting first spouses throughout the West with the Western Governors Association, and it's my hope that we will learn how to network and maybe find solutions for other states. I've always said that everyone is just one emergency away from being in need of help. I think that this is this emergency right now in our state. So we have to help our neighbors as we always do in Wyoming. Check on someone who lives down the block who might be an elderly person. Buy only what you need at the store. And roll up your sleeves and pitch in. And above all, be kind, because that's who we are in Wyoming. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. There is other good news, but we've been going through a number of topics today, but there are some other good news that I'll pass along, and that is the Department of Homeland Security has been able to start to distribute PPE, vitally important, not in the numbers we want, but we are starting to get that system up and running. Let me conclude, and then we'll open it for questions, with this. You know, we know this is a difficult situation, probably the hardest any of us will face in our lifetimes. It is not going to be quickly remedied. There is a battle rhythm, and there is an end. We will work towards making sure that we arrive at that end solid, sound, and ready to work. It requires commitment from all of you to stay at home and be willing to sacrifice in the short term. That doesn't mean not picking up the phone and calling your neighbor. That doesn't mean not writing a letter to the senior citizen that you know. We must be honest about the enormity of this public challenge facing us and respond to it. And lest anybody wonder what community spread really means, you know, the other day on Monday, I talked about back in the 70s before we had ScourVac, and if anybody was trying to have calves and scour vaccine wasn't yet available, if a scoury calf went in your herd, how it would spread through that entire herd. Community spread is a little different. And here's the example for that. We also lambed. We built a lambing shed right from the ground up on virgin ground. And we started lambing. We had great success for 2 years with no sickness in our lambs. On that third year, not knowing anything about where it came from or how, suddenly we started seeing sickness. And before the end of it, it was all through our lambing herd, and we ended up having to range lamb. That's community spread. You don't know where it comes from. You may think you're safe, but it can be right there, and it can show up at any time. Please know that your comments are being read, your calls are being heard, and the feedback that I receive on all sides, some not so kind, some encouraging, I am looking at it all and considering it. We are continuing to make thoughtful decisions with the health of Wyoming citizens in mind, and I thank you, Wyoming, for showing an example to the rest of the nation. With that, God bless you, God bless Wyoming, God bless the United States of America. And we'll stand for questions.
With the health of Wyoming citizens in mind. An example.
So bear with us a little bit on questions as you ask. We're social distancing here, and so there'll be a little bit of a pause. With that, if there's a question, please call.
If there's a possibility that schools are going to be closed for the rest of the year. Thank you.
We are looking at that very carefully. The question was, we're looking at the April 3rd. Is there a likelihood that we'll extend that vacation? That was the question from the Casper Star. And the answer to that is we are reviewing that now, the Department of Education and our task force, to see if April 3rd date is the right date or if we'll extend it. We'll have that information in the next couple of days. What we're really working on is making sure that all our school districts are kind of on the same page so that all of our students end up pretty much in the same place, able to graduate. Thank you for that. So we have a next question. Yes.
Governor, this is Bob Beck from Boston Public Radio. Could you talk about what it would take to shut everybody down and keep them confined in their homes?
Thank you. From Wyoming Public Radio, there's a question about what it would take to shut everything down and keep everybody in their homes. Hopefully just the good wisdom of Wyoming citizens being asked to do so. What I would say, Bob, is that we are trying to avoid that order should it become necessary. But we do have the tools to be able to issue that kind of an order. As I say, we are trying to avoid that order because of the complexities that it involves, but if we have to issue that order, we will, and we do have means to enforce it either through law enforcement or others. Let me have Director Ceballos answer that question, if that's...
Again, this is Mike Ceballos. We do have the question is, do we have the ability to provide information on our websites to show the testing by county? And my belief is that we do know the source of where the testing's coming from. And if we don't have that information, I believe that's something we can provide. Whether we do that on a regular basis as a part of our website or whether we add pieces to it, I think that's information that should be available.
Thank you. That would be very helpful.
Thanks. Next question. Hi, Andrew. Andrew, you broke up a little bit, but I think the question was what quantities of supplies and how are they being distributed? Is that correct? Yes. Okay. For PPEs. Let me have Director of Homeland Security, Lynn Budd, address that question for you.
Good afternoon. Yes, we're working hard to get everything we can out to the counties. We have activated the state the Strategic National Stockpile. We've received one order from them and spread that out to the counties for them to work through their public health coordinators at the local level to get as much out there as we can. Of course, it isn't everything that we need. And we are also putting in orders through FEMA and HHS to try and get some more public PPE to everyone at the local level. Again, it's not enough, but we're doing the best we can at this point. You're asking the quantity of gloves and masks and things that have gone out?
Yeah, bring that order.
You know, I don't have those numbers with me right now. We can possibly make that available, but what we're doing is spreading that out to start with on all the minimum number to every county, and then adding additional supplies for those counties that do have an active case.
Yes, thanks, Tim. And just a reminder, if people can mute their phones, we're getting a little bit of echo back. So, Tim, go ahead. Thank you, Tim, for that question. And if you, the question was, have we as a state looked at ways to provide forgiveness for loans or started working with banks to provide forgiveness for loans? What I would say, Tim, and you heard this, I think, Monday from Auditor Racines, she's been working with banks on the business and finance task force to look at the programs we have. These are early days, and we are very anxious, as you heard Secretary Buchanan just speak about, to make sure that our business platform stays up and running. We are looking at every opportunity we can to be able to figure out ways to extend payments, ways to reduce payments. And we'll continue to work on that. Some of that will be dependent on the federal funds that come through that are really designed to try to help with those. As you heard on Monday, the Small Business Administration had stood up a program that if small businesses keep people employed, that they can, those loans can be forgiven. The statutory framework that our loan programs exist under, the state's loan programs, does not allow for that. So we will look at that and see if there are adjustments in the months to come that we might ask the legislature to look at. But in the meantime, we're giving every bit of support we can through the Business Council, through supporting loans and grants. We have very low interest rates to be able to help businesses stand over. Let me also say that that we're looking broadly at our energy sector, at other sectors, to see what sorts of things we can do to ease the regulatory burdens that are on them now. Are there relaxations of shut-in laws that we might want to consider, things like that, that can help our businesses tide over these very, very difficult times? Thank you. Next.
That the state might need
Okay, thank you, Angus. The question is, does the state have any modeling, and are those numbers available? And I'm going to let Director Ceballos answer that. One thing, we're trying out this new system, and if you're on a speakerphone, it would be helpful if you could get closer to the speakerphone so that we can hear you more clearly. It will help us prevent the feedback that happens. Director Ceballos.
Again, this is Mike Ceballos. We are asking our EPIs to start looking at this type of data. We know that it's been looked at in other places, for instance, I think Colorado. So we are trying to gather that information to see what we can provide. We don't have numbers yet, but we are working on that task.
Thanks. Next question. Okay, I'm going to ask you to repeat the second part of the question. The first one I understood to be the comment period on existing matters that are open. And the second part of your question?
Was if there's a master list of essential services, and if coal mines and oil rigs and energy is within that?
Right. So the second part of the question is coal mines and oil rigs and energy workers, I would say, generally. So let me answer that quickly. We are continuing to evolve the list of essential services, and so stay tuned to that. Almost everybody is saying we're essential, and so we're looking at that very carefully. But it is important that our coal mines keep working. It is important that the rigs we have running continue to run, and that's essential for Wyoming's economy to survive. So we're going to do what we can to make sure that that stays in place. The first part of the question really regarded comments on open matters. I have not taken that up with the Department of Environmental Quality. It does seem to me that that there's perhaps people can write their comments, and we'll have some time to discuss those. So I don't have a specific answer on that, but let me say I'm taking that into consideration. Thank you. Next question. Seth, you were asking about mortgages and timelines on those. Is that correct?
Yeah, mortgages and rents, and if you think the state has any role in, you know, easing that burden for people who are maybe out of work or making less money right now?
Absolutely, and I don't know exactly how to answer your question other than we're working with our banks. I've worked with WCDA. One of the points I made with the president and with our Congress was that Fannie and Freddie should delay their required payments, and eviction should be in some ways delayed as well. So we're doing all of those things on that front. Our ability to regulate that sort of thing is somewhat limited. Thank you. Any other questions?
So, Mayor, this is Mara Hoppett. I'm from the Buffalo Bulletin. And I was calling, you know, there are a lot of people who are in counties where their houses haven't reached yet, and it might still feel pretty remote. What do you say in terms of your recommendation to stay home? Is there a best case, worst case scenario that you're able to paint that will help make this a little bit more real?
Well, that's and thank you for that. And I actually spoke with Marilyn Connolly this morning, And it's really exciting to hear the great stuff that's going on in Johnson County, sort of organizing for this pandemic. My little town that I grew up in, KC, it was nice to hear that it's been pretty quiet, and that may be the exact example that you're using. What makes it more real? If the virus hasn't reached there yet. And my point is, that's the reason I told the story about our lambing barn, where we had 2 years of clean, absolutely no sickness in the lambs, the third year without any explanation, same lambing procedure, same everything, without any explanation. We started to see this illness show up, showed up in droves and expanded exponentially, was a problem. And that's why I don't think anyone, and if you want to look around the country, look at the places that used to be COVID-19 free, and now it's expanding, it's growing, it's in almost, well, it is in every state, it's growing rapidly in every state. So if you think it's not with you yet, you can expect it at some point. Thank you.
I have another question for Mike. This is Dave at Turner at Wi-Fi.
Okay, thank you.
Some people have said that lack of transport media is one of the shortages that is holding up Texas. Are state officials aware of the alternative to the usual transport media? And would adopting that alternative benefit the
Again, it's Mike Sabais. The question is, the transport media and other media that we use in the testing, and I think what you're asking is, are we looking at alternatives, or how do we extend the supply, or different ways to approach that? Is that correct? Okay. Now I understand it. So there is discussion about other media that you can use alternatives. I met today just with our lab director, and we've broken down the process into about four different areas of what the test requires for us to do. And each of those pieces, we're looking at what is a high priority, where do we have our greatest shortages, what are the other alternatives we can do. In one case, we're producing some of this in the lab ourselves that was a supply we couldn't get. So yes, we're looking at all of those. The other thing we have to be careful is there is just so many ideas coming in, and some of them are scary. Others of them are interesting, but I'm not sure relevant. And then what we're trying to hone in on are those that we think we can replicate. We're working, just started with the university today, to try to figure out how do we find all of these alternatives and then bring them back so that we can start to increase the test. And there's also other tests that we're looking at. So all of that, yes, is being done, and we're spending an increasing amount of time on that process.
And I would only add to that, Director, that each of these alternatives has very precise prescriptions around it. So it's not like you just sort of mix up some salt water and send in a cotton swab there. And I don't think that's what you were implying. I am saying that the state is very much aware of these alternatives, and will deploy as is necessary. Next question. Well, is there one coming? Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank you for participating in this call today. We'll continue to do this on a periodic basis. We want to make sure that when we have a press conference, we provide you with information. Today, we wanted to provide you with the updated figures on the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's spreading through the state. We wanted to provide you with some optimism about the new transport media that is being designed and deployed, the deployment of the PPE, We also wanted to talk about the resources that are becoming available through Director Cooley and the great work of Secretary Buchanan, so that if you have lost your job or if you're looking for unemployment, that we can support you. And through First Lady, we wanted to make sure you knew that there are resources in every county to help feed kids and to make sure that people are taken care of. Her site, No Hunger Wyoming, is a really an amazing resource. Looked at it this morning before it went live. I advise you to go there. You will find many people who are thinking about how to be kind to the neighbors. And lastly, what I want to say, people of Wyoming, it is important we do this together. It is important that we work as one to make sure that we don't have to increase our levels of orders, and that we do the best job that we can to make sure that our hospitals are prepared. We're working every day to make sure of that, to make sure that our first responders are protected and safe and rested, so that if this virus continues to spread as it has, that we're prepared to be able to meet that health challenge. So with that, thank you very much. God bless. Get rest. Stay home.